Hey everybody, welcome to Cocktails and Killers, Season 2, Episode 4. I'm Lena.
I'm Heather.
I got a good one for y'all today.
I'm so excited for this.
So, we're going to be talking about the Lily Lid murders.
Lily Lid.
L-I-L-L-E-L-I-D. Lily Lid. Oh. That was the last name.
I was going to say, is that the name?
Yes, that's the last name of the family. While this actually happened in eastern Tennessee, not too far outside of Knoxville, kind of in between like Knoxville and Asheville, The six perpetrators were all from eastern Kentucky.
Oh.
Yes.
Interesting.
So, I kind of want to talk about them first, give their backgrounds, Introduce you all to the defendants, the killers, perpetrators, whatever you want to call them, whatever your, POS is, whatever. So, first, we're going to talk about 18-year-old. Now, I should also mention they were all but one minors, ranging in age from 14 to 20.
The victims?
No.
Oh, the killers.
Yes, they were all young.
Wow.
Yeah. So the youngest was 14, the oldest is 20, and the rest fall in between. Boys and girls. So first we're going to talk about Natasha Cornett. She was 18 at the time, and she was from Betsy Lane. So all of these people are from Pike County. Now, if you're not from Kentucky, you have to understand Pike County is a huge, huge county. There's lots of little...
Massive.
Towns and, dots on a map but they're all from the same county. Okay, so Natasha Cornett, she was 18. She was from Betsy Lane. She was the product of an affair, grew up in poverty. She, by all accounts, though, was a really polite student, good student, up until about middle school, till about sixth grade. And that's when things in school and kind of her whole demeanor started to decline. She actually dropped out of school before even completing her ninth grade, so her freshman year.
Yeah.
She never really had a job. She would do like odd babysitting jobs from time to time. And at this age, she started using alcohol and illegal drugs, even heroin, ecstasy, and coke.
Typical for Eastern Kentucky.
Yep. At the age of 14, she had her first arrest for forging a check. The juvenile court basically gave her a slap on the wrist and sentenced her to probation.
Because, God forbid we actually try to nip this shit in the bud when they're young.
Exactly. Yeah. So she was arrested again. I couldn't figure out how much later it was, but she was arrested again for assaulting her mother and threatening to kill her with a knife.
Damn.
But her mother dropped the charges.
Of course.
Yeah. So on her 17th birthday, she got married to a man named Stephen Cornett, but they were only married for about 10 months, and then the marriage dissolved. Let's move on next to our next person, Edward Mullins. He was 19. He was from Harold, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped out of school when he was in the 12th grade, but he did try to work on his GED.
Wow.
He
impressed.
Had no criminal history at all, ever. Had a job working at a grocery store in Pikeville in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But then he met the aforementioned Natasha.
Natasha.
And that's when things started going downhill for him.
Bad decisions were made.
Yes. Very bad decisions were made. His family said that from the time that he got with her, that his life just took a complete nosedive.
Hussy.
Yeah. And they were actually planning on getting married.
Oh,
so she's 18, about to have her second marriage at this point. Into the fold comes Joseph Reisner. He was 20. He was the oldest at this point. He was from Hazard, which is not Pikeville, but he moved to Pikeville later on in his life. So that's how he met all of these. Joseph, he never met his father. His stepdad basically raised him. He was described at one point as a good student and had a good work ethic until the separation of his mom and stepfather.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says that that affected him emotionally and things like that. And that's when that he moved with his mom to Pikeville. At this point, he started using marijuana, LSD, claimed that he had sex with several of his babysitters at the age of 12. He started having a decline in his academics as well. He actually failed 7th grade, and again in 8th grade, he failed that.
Oh my God.
So I'm assuming he's probably a 20-year-old senior, and that's how he knows these people. It didn't
say
I was going to say,
how in the world do these people all come together?
Yeah. So at Betsy Lane High School, this is where he met the other two.
Oh, Natasha and...
Natasha and Edward. He also met his girlfriend at the time, Karen Howe, who we have not introduced yet, but they met there too. So in 1995, Reisner joined the Army, but he received an administrative discharge after he tested positive for drugs. Yeah, no shocker there.
Right.
So next up is Crystal Sturgill. She was 18 at the time, and she was from Harrell, Kentucky. And one of the dogs just farted, and it smells like complete and total shit.
Scarlet.
Oh. Yeah, I'm the farter.
Ooh, man, that's a bad one.
She crop dusted Jonathan this morning.
God bless. Scarlet, what did you eat, girl? Whew. So, Crystal Sturgill, she was 18, and she was a senior at Betsy Lane High School.
Mm-hmm.
She also attended the Floyd County Technical School, where they said she was actually an above-average student.
What the hell is with these smart people that just do stupid things?
They just do dumb stuff? They get caught up in the wrong crowd, maybe? I don't know.
I guess.
Easily influenced? I don't know. At a point towards the end of her high school career, things did start to decline, and she blamed it on drugs and alcohol. But on all of her standardized tests, she performed really well. She got a 28 on her ACT.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. You know, she applied to several colleges and was accepted, but by the end of the year, things were just, you know, complete shit. She did have a job working at the Betsy Lane Elementary School daycare. And they said that, you know, she was a great employee. She loved the kids, was super good with them, really sweet, caring.
Mm-hmm.
No really outward signs that she would end up killing 3 people, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, it's that influence, peer pressure mentality, you know?
She had no criminal history either as a juvenile or, you know, when she turned 18 as an adult. She had been suspended from school a few times toward the end of the year when things were going downhill, but she says that she suffered, you know, rape and sexual abuse from her stepfather, and that is kind of what sent her down that.
So it just started?
Mm-hmm. That's what she says. Downward path. Now, we don't know for sure, but that's what she says and blames it on. So let's welcome into the fold now Jason Bryant from Hellier, Kentucky.
Oh, Hellier.
So, I feel like we've mentioned the documentary Hellier before on Amazon, but if you haven't watched it, go watch it, because it's awesome.
It's pretty crazy.
And Hellier is literally a dot on a map. It probably isn't even a dot.
It's probably not even a dot.
Like, super small in Pikeville. And, you know, what everything I said that he was born there. I'm like, he was not born there unless he was born at home. But
right.
He's still in Pike County, but...
I mean, he might have been born in Pikeville, but raised in Hellier.
Yeah. So, he was 14 at the time, so he was the youngest. They tested him, and he had the emotional and social skills of an 11-year-old. His IQ was only 85.
Oh. Yeah, he's very easily influenced by people.
That makes me really sad. Mm-hmm. You know, for him. But, I mean, he had a history of alcohol and drug abuse.
At 14.
They say, he says, as young as 3, that his parents would let him, like, give him alcohol in a bottle to put him to sleep.
Well, you know, Eastern Kentucky, we're from Eastern Kentucky. I can't say I would be too surprised if that were true.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me either. He was actually only an 8th grader when this happened. So he was
That could probably even, you know, if he was receiving that stuff at that young of an age, mean, that could probably have a lot to do with mm-hmm. his brain development, definitely. Low IQ. It could. So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he said that they would give him alcohol in a bottle. I mean, I don't know how he would remember that, but I guess maybe they admitted it and told it to him.
Very well.
Probably because they're just ignorant. But, so he was a eighth grader at Millard High School, which is Millard Middle School, which is in Pike County. And he had met Natasha Cornett, the first girl we talked about, mm-hmm. only about a month before the murders happened. So he hadn't even really known them that long.
Yeah.
So the last one is Karen Howell. She was 17 at the time, and her family moved to Kentucky when she was 3. Her parents were very violent. They fought all the time. They finally divorced when she was about 9, and she also was very, very low functioning. Her IQ was 78.
Damn.
She claims that she had been sexually abused between the ages of 5 and 10 by her uncle and a cousin. By the age of 13, she was, like, cutting herself.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
trying to commit suicide. She was heavily into the occult, if you want to call it that, you know, or what she thought was, you know, Ouija boards and, you know, things like that, you know. I feel like that shit, like, Eastern Kentucky people just blow all that, like, out of proportion. So, when this came out, it was assumed that all of these kids were devil worshippers and,
Satanic panic.
Yes, essentially. That is the...
That's always the first go-to, I feel like. Especially if they're into anything like that. They like to play the Ouija board or, you know, that's not... Whatever.
Mm-hmm. So all of them got labeled as devil worshippers, mm-hmm. occult members, that they were setting out on this cross country, like, fucking tour to just, like, kill people and just mayhem.
Like the Manson family or something.
Okay, we've got 6 very not highly intelligent people from Eastern Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And you think that they're smart enough to go out and set out on this adventure to just cause mayhem across the U.S.?
Mm-mm.
No, not at all. On April the 6th, 1997, all of these people, you know, from Eastern Kentucky, all of them decide that they're going to start a little cross-country journey to New Orleans. Well, I guess it's not really cross-country, but, you know, far enough for mm-hmm. them. Probably never been out of the county before, other than the ones that moved
and
there.
How the hell did they manage this? I mean, they're underage. They're minors. What do? Just, like, run away?
And where they get the money and, you know, all this and that. So it wasn't a well thought out plan, basically.
Yeah.
So what the media is saying does not add up because there's no way they planned all this stuff.
Oh, I'm not surprised there. The media blows all kinds of shit out of proportion and makes stuff up. So
shortly after they get out of Pikeville, they realize that probably Reisner's little car is not going to get them to New Orleans.
It's some little shitty beater.
I'm imagining some little, like, Pinto, like, beat up, you know, thing that gets you from point A to point B.
Rolling on a donut or something.
Yes, and they're like, you know, okay, maybe this really isn't going to work. So they talked about different scenarios of, you know, how to get a car and should they steal one from a parking lot or a dealership or what's going to be, you know, what are they going to do? Well, obviously they have no fucking idea, you know. They were armed with 2 guns, a 9mm and a 25 caliber pistol. So while they're deciding this, they stop at a rest stop along Interstate 81, which is in Greene County, Tennessee. So, like I said, it's kind of in between Knoxville and Asheville.
Yeah.
And in comes the Lily Lid family, who is also at this rest stop. And they are a Jehovah's Witness family.
Oh.
We are not going to talk about organized religion. That's another podcast for Heather and I. But, so they are on their way home from a conference that they've had. Mm-hmm. They live in Knoxville, so they're not too far from home. So, there's 4 members of the family. We have Vidar, who is 34, Delphina, his wife, who's 28, and then they have Tabitha, she's 6, and Peter, who is 2. Vidar kind of goes over and starts talking to the kids, you know, striking up a conversation, obviously, to talk about religion.
Religion.
Mm-hmm. And things, as they do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking to Cornette and Hal, and then bystanders say that Reisner and Bryant went over and joined in the conversation. I guess things just went to shit.
Oh, God.
And at some point, Reisner displayed one of the guns and said, I hate to do you this way, but we're going to have to take you with us because we want your van. So they had a big van, nice van, and they're like, okay, this is our opportunity. Obviously, again, not planned out.
Right. You would have been better off if you would have found a person who was alone.
Yes.
In a family, but whatever.
So they, you know, got the Lily-Lit family into her van. Vidar, at this point, he told them, you know, please take the keys, take my wallet, whatever. Just let us stay here. You know, yeah. Don't make us go. But Reisner reportedly refused. They made Vidar drive the van with Reisner, holding him at gunpoint. And then the rest of them were in the back of the van while Mullins and Sturgill followed in the little piece of shit beat-up car. You know, the kids were hysterical, obviously. In an attempt to calm the children, Delfina began to sing, you know, Christian songs and songs of calming. And mm-hmm. I guess that just, like, annoyed them, you know, because right. They're just like, shut the fuck up. I just want your van, mm-hmm. you know. So, Reisner directed the Lily Lids first to the interstate, and then they went a couple exits down and got off on this little secluded road called Payne Hollow Lane. It's near Greenville, Tennessee. They made all the family, the two kids, the parents get out. They lined them up in the ditch the side of the road. And they executed them all, shot them all.
Wow.
It's alleged that Bryant said at one point, they're still fucking alive. And so everyone got shot again. Some even more. We'll talk about that.
Damn.
Basically, they'd left them. And they continued on to their journey towards New Orleans. They left the car there.
The little shitty car.
Not too smart, you right. know. Yeah, leaving that there. They did take the license plate off.
I was going to say, but there's still probably a VIN number, you morons.
Right, yeah. So they had a little pit stop at Waffle House in Georgia. Got to get that Waffle House in. But they fled there because some cops came in to have breakfast and it scared them. So they started heading, now they're like, okay, well, we probably shouldn't stay in the U.S. So they start heading towards Mexico.
Oh.
Thinking that they're going to get across the border.
You idiots. You don't even have passports, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. So when they reached the border, they obviously did not have anything to get across.
Some of them didn't even have ID, I'm sure, because they're underage. 14. They're not even old enough to drive.
Yes. But somehow they found a way into the country. They actually got into Mexico somehow. I don't know how. I could not find the logistics of how they did, but they did. So while they were there, Bryant was shot by someone in the hand and the leg, and the Mexican police stopped them and made them turn around and go back to the U.S.
How the hell? Do you get shot in the leg and the hand? What
know.
Were they doing?
I don't know. I tried forever to find the details on that, but I couldn't. I wish one of them would write a book or something and, like, talk about it, but it'll probably never happen. So, no. You know how it is.
Right.
So, the Mexican officials ordered the group to re-enter the U.S., where the American Border Patrol was like, okay, what the fuck, you know. So, they searched them and found the guns and shit and took them to a jail in Arizona, where they were arrested 2 days after the murders, for the murders.
Yeah.
Of the Lily Lids. So, they're arrested, mm-hmm. and, you know, the media starts talking about the devil worshippers and all this and that.
Oh, yeah.
And starts sensationalizing things and saying that, that they lined the bodies up in a cross formation in the ditch. But the sheriff's office in that county has come out and said that that is not true. They actually didn't do that. That they just lined them up. And shot them. They were all shot multiple times. The dad was shot the most, like 8 times. He died fairly quickly, they mm-hmm. say. The mom, she was shot 6 times. And they said that none of her injuries were completely fatal, so she probably laid there for like 30 minutes.
Wow, it took her a while for her to die.
when the police actually got there, the daughter, Tabitha, and the little boy, Peter, were both alive.
Aww.
So they air transported both of them to a hospital in Knoxville. But Tabitha did, she ended up succumbing to the gunshots. Mm. And she died, I think it was a couple days later. Peter actually survived, and he's still alive.
Aww. Bless his little heart.
He lost an eye, and he was shot twice. Once in the side of the head, which caused him to lose his eye, and once in his back. They were all shot in the back because they were face down in the ditch. And he was in a wheelchair for a really long time, and eventually he did learn to walk. He went to live with his aunt in Norway because that's where his dad was from. So he was raised there with her, but he actually lives in Connecticut now.
Aww.
And he's in IT, he's married, and obviously he has like no memory at all of what happened.
Well, I mean, that's a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, he was young, so obviously he wouldn't. But, you know, he says that he doesn't really want people to focus on the killers, that he just wants his parents to be remembered, and that he's like, I'm not angry, you know. Yeah. So he has like a really good outlook on it. And actually, just as of like a week ago, some of the defendants have tried, they petitioned for the courts to re-fingerprint the guns because they're trying to say that there was only one shooter and it was just the Reisner, but there were two guns and they were all shot with both guns.
I don't give a damn. You were all involved.
Well, essentially, that's what the judge said. So a Greene County judge, he dismissed the post-conviction request made by four of the murderers. It was Karen Howe, Dean Mullins, Crystal Sturgill, and
you all participated in one way or another.
Yes, and Bryant. And he said, you know, essentially it would not take away from the horrific facts of the case.
Mm-hmm.
You were all involved, and like, I'm not.
One's just as guilty as the other.
Mm-hmm. And he said he wasn't going to re-examine it. So they're all serving life sentences plus 25 years extra for the attempted murder of Peter.
Mm.
A chance happening at a fucking rest stop led to the murder of an entire family, minus Peter.
Little Peter.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
That's insane. And I really don't remember hearing about this.
For those of you that haven't listened we haven't done a podcast since I went back to work.
I don't think so.
So I'm back in the work field now. Yes, unfortunately. And one of the girls that I work with up front, Heather, she actually mentioned doing this episode because she heard about it at like Scarefest or something. And she's from Eastern Kentucky too, and she'd never heard of it. But then when I heard the names, I was like, I kind of remember like hearing about those people, like those six people, but not really like about what they'd actually done and stuff.
I have like zero memory of that.
Because we would have been, it was 25 years ago, so we would have been teenagers.
I would have been, 13, I mean, because it was 14. What, 97?
Yeah.
I would have been like a sophomore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But there's no part of me that believes that these kids were like on this cross-country like tour of mayhem.
No, I don't think that was the case at all. That's probably just some crap made up by the media
and by Eastern Kentucky people who are so like fucking like fearful of anything that's not fucking church on Sunday, on Wednesday, and you know, like, so.
But yeah, they just live life in the holler and they don't
clearly
get out in the world, so I don't think they have this big plan to just go on this killing spree.
No.
I wonder, do we know why they like planned to go to New Orleans?
I never heard that either. Why they were going there, if it was
just to do it?
I don't know. I've never found like what they said they were going for, you know, a specific reason or whatever. Probably just kids trying to get out of the holler.
Most likely.
And realized we may not make it, you know.
Yeah.
And instead of,
Like this little piece of shit beater ain't gonna get us.
Right.
You know, 12 hours, 14 hours to New Orleans.
And I don't think they had the mental capacity to really understand or think, oh, you know, it was like a spur of the moment thing. Let's, mm-hmm. oh, I see this family. They have this van. Let's just take it.
Damn, you know? we could use that van. Mm-hmm.
And then,
but the family's in the way.
Yeah. So they're all still behind bars now. And clearly not going to be getting out anytime soon. So
hopefully never.
I hope not.
I mean, and they're serving life, but hopefully there's no chance of parole. I don't know.
I don't think so. I didn't see anything that said that there was. So
hope not.
Did you see, this is totally like off subject, but did you see that the school shooter, Michael Carneal from Kentucky, came up for parole recently?
No.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah.
That happened? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he obviously got denied.
Good.
Yeah.
He should never see the light of day.
Yeah.
None of those people that do that shit should.
Mm-mm. I mean, I know they're young, but it doesn't matter, I don't think.
I mean, they're old enough to know that that's not what you should do.
Right. Like, I think my child at 13 knows you don't go in and shoot up a bunch of people.
No.
You know?
Yeah, I hadn't seen that about him.
Mm-hmm. I heard it on the radio. I guess it was maybe a couple weeks ago. And at first, it went back to the parole board because the first time it was not a unanimous decision. Mm. So they had to bring in more members and go back and vote on it again. So he could have almost gotten out.
Jeez.
Because it wasn't unanimous. Isn't that crazy?
I would just figure it didn't have, I mean, I didn't know it had to be unanimous. I figured it would have been, you know, majority.
Majority, yeah. I guess they couldn't come to an agreement the first time, so they had to bring in more members or something like that, it was saying.
Hmm.
On the radio. I guess they must have a smaller board the first time.
Yeah,
and then
maybe.
If they can't agree, then they bring in more people.
Probably.
So, yeah. So today's episode for me was short and sweet, y'all, but had some Kentucky ties, which was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But send us your requests for next time if you got anything.
Yeah.
You can find us on all of our stuff.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We like having suggestions. So, and yeah. Spooky season. Anything.
It might have a spooky twist to it.
I know. That would be cool.
That would be kind of cool.
We should do a spooky twist one.
Yeah.
Or something.
See if what we can find.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, you all enjoy your day. Have a little cocktail, you know.
Yeah.
For us. I had a little mimosa this morning. It was quite delicious. So, we'll see y'all next time. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and thanks, guys.
Feel free to reach out to us.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.